Well, now to Ukraine, where a court has sentenced a Russian tank commander to life in prison for killing an unarmed civilian. It was the first trial for war crimes to take place since Russia invaded Ukraine 3 months ago. Judges found 21-year-old Vadim Shishimarin had carried out a criminal order by shooting a 62-year-old civilian dead. Have a listen to what the prosecutor had to say after the verdict and sentence were read out.
I think that all other law enforcement agencies will move along the path we have travelled. This will be a good example for other occupiers who may not yet be on our territory but are planning to come, or those who are here now and plan to stay and fight. Or maybe they will think that it's time to leave here for their own territory.
Well, earlier I spoke to the BBC's Joe Inwood, who's in Kyiv. He told me it's the beginning of a minor resolution for Ukrainian people.
To have someone tried and convicted for war crimes whilst the war is under 3 months old and it's ongoing is really quite extraordinary. I think it's worth saying, though, that this is not a normal war crimes trial in general. The war crimes conviction would be of someone who was a leader, someone who was a general. The person we're talking about here was a low-level tank commander. He's a 21-year-old. You see him in court, he looks like a child, putting it bluntly, although, of course, the actions he is guilty of, and he is guilty of them, are very, very serious indeed. What we've seen today is him get a life sentence. This will be the start of some sort of process of catharsis for the people of Ukraine, but only in a very, very minor way. This is not the person, this is not the conviction that the people of Ukraine want to see or need to see. Ultimately, it's the people that are responsible for this invasion that they would like to see in a court. I think what we're going to see over the next weeks, months, years even, the 11,000 or so war crimes being investigated, I think we're going to see those coming to trial. But the big war crimes, the war crime of starting this whole endeavour, I think that's a very different kind of process.
The significance, though, could it also be that this is where legal tit-for-tat could begin, that Russia potentially could put captured fighters from Ukraine on trial?
Yeah, and actually that's exactly what we've seen today. As this verdict was being read out, a man called Denis Pushilin, who is the leader of the Donetsk People's Republic, gave an interview to a Russian media outlet and said that the fighters that are captured from the Azovstal steelworks, people who had defended the city of Mariupol, who in Ukraine are national heroes now, that they were going to be tried in what he said was an international tribunal that would be held in occupied Russian territory or Ukrainian territory occupied by the Russians. So almost immediately, it seems we are getting something that appears to be tit for tat. The Russians probably would deny that. They would say that the people they're convicting are guilty of some as yet undetermined crime. However, it does have the very clear impression, it leaves the impression, that this is them getting revenge in some way.
Is it also problematic in some ways, or I suppose maybe let's talk about what the situation is here, for someone to be tried so close to the timing of an alleged crime? I suppose in that way it can make it easier because it is fresher in people's minds, it's perhaps easier to gather evidence. But what are some of the disadvantages of holding these sorts of trials while that war is still actively ongoing?
I think it's more that we're just not used to it. In an ideal world, the trial should be held as close as possible to the event, because, as you say, the evidence is fresher. I mean, there's no reason to delay, I would argue. It's simply that we're used to a delay taking place. It does give the feeling slightly of this being done for not just for legal reasons, but also to make people feel better. It just feels very unusual. I mean, I've certainly, in, 17 years of being a journalist, have never seen anything like this.
Is this information likely to get through to Russian soldiers who are in Ukraine, who are fighting in Ukraine, and will it potentially give them any pause for thought?
It's a very good question, and the honest truth is it's impossible to know. The sort of levels, I think the Russian soldiers that are here don't, as far as we know, have access to Western media, Western communications, but of course some may do. If you are about to commit an act as gross as that, it's far from the worst thing we've heard about. As terrible as it is, some of the war crimes that you've heard described and the atrocities you've heard described, the idea that somebody would be about to commit an act as violent and terrible as the ones we've seen and heard described, and would then think, but there might be a trial at the end of this, I don't think that is going to be the thing that would stop you doing it.
A Russian diplomat with the UN in Geneva has resigned, seemingly because he is ashamed of his country. How important is this being seen?
So he is a low-level diplomat. I mean, he did an interview with my colleague Steve Rosenberg, our Russia editor, in which he described it, the war is senseless. And he said that he was ashamed. He'd never been more ashamed of his country. But he also accepted and admitted that he would be viewed as a traitor within inside Moscow. And the thing that I thought was quite telling about the interview, he said that most of his colleagues didn't feel the same way. He was very, very much in the minority amongst his colleagues of viewing the war as he did. He also, I think, said he now fears for his life. So whether we will see an exodus of Russian diplomats, I think that's probably quite unlikely.
That is the BBC's Joe Inwood reporting there.